Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk, your regular journey into the world of accessible technology from a blindness and low vision perspective. I'm Dave Williams and it's great to have your company. Don't forget, of course, Tech Talk, it's your show and we really love to hear from you. Why not send us an email or a voice note? You can do that too, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be hearing about how RNIB Connect Radio's very own Toby Davey got on at Site Village South East. We'll be finding out which tech products are available as part of RNIB's Black Friday sale, and we'll be learning what's new with Orcam. That's all coming up on another Tech Talk. Welcome in to my co-hosts, Tasni Marshad, Callum Stoneman. How are you both?
Yeah, doing good, thanks.
Yes, really good, thank you. Good to be here as always.
And what's grabbing your attention in the world of technology this week?
I'm just interested to hear what's going on with RNIB's Black Friday deals. I'm looking forward to that. I always love to bag a nice little, a nice few treats before Christmas. Usually for myself, I'm a bit terrible for that.
There you go, you're frugal, Callum, frugal northerner, man after my own heart. Yeah. How about you, Tasneem?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with a good bargain. So, yeah, very interested in hearing more about the bargains and also about Orcam as well to see what's happening with them.
Excellent. Okie doke. Well, that's coming up later, but plenty more besides. So stick around. It's Tech Talk.
Site Village South East made a very welcome return to Kensington Town Hall in London this year. And RNIB Connect Radio's very own Toby Davey went along to explore what was on offer.
You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio at Site Village South East at Kensington Town Hall in London. And I'm joined by Glenn Tookie from Sight & Sound. Glenn, what have you got on the Sight & Sound stand this year?
Well, I think the answer will be the same every year. We've got the best and the newest technology. Sight & Sound, we tend to look for the best solutions in the different areas, whether it be blindness, low vision these days, wearables and navigation, etc. And we try to find things that really work, that are really good value, and we distribute those. So on our stand here today, you'll find a range of really good, really new, and hopefully really valuable tech for the people with low vision.
And I know you're obviously one of the main suppliers of JAWS and Freedom Scientific Braille displays and things like that. And I think there's been a recent update to JAWS. Are there any sort of new bits in JAWS that people should know about?
Yes, so we're on JAWS 2023 now. And we are, yes, the master distributor of JAWS, ZoomText, Fusion and all that software. And we provide all the support to the users in the UK. So I hope you out there listening are getting what you need in terms of making your software run. Yes, JAWS has updates every October, November time. And the main feature is scene description in this latest JAWS. That is where the JAWS basically sees on a website something which is highlighted, something which is emboldened, maybe some an offer or something like that, and picks it out and allows you to arrow straight in on it. So you've got your headings, shortcuts, you've got your titles, you've got different ways to get to it. And this one is taking those parts of so often delivered on websites nowadays that are things that should catch your eye if you have some vision. Well, they now catch your ear if you don't have vision with JAWS 2023's latest update. That's the big thing in 2023. Also, we have support for the AMD processor now, so you can use JAWS on a wider range of computers. But those are the two big things in JAWS 2023.
Are there any updates at all to the firmware of the Focus Blue Braille displays?
No, actually, all of the hardware is still on its same platform at the moment. We know there is new technology in the portable range for Vispro coming along. I think the Transformer is a little way away from a new release. But actually, the basic standard portfolio of the Focus Braille displays, 1440 and 1480, are there doing the job in the same way.
Yeah, because they're really robust and almost bulletproof displays, aren't they?
They are. Well, I'll tell you what I will be using now with one of those, or certainly with my smartphone. I'll be looking at the Hable One. I don't know if you've come across the Hable One. That's a new piece of technology that provides a very small six-button input device for something like a smartphone. So I might have my Focus Brow display, but I want something really, really, really portable. And this is the size of a credit card and not much more than the weight of a credit card. And if you rush down to Kensington Town Hall now, you could actually have one in your hands. But the Hable One is well worth a look at for you guys out there who are smartphone users and want something for braille input.
And finally, Glenn, if people want to find out more about Sight and Sound technology, what's your website address?
Yeah, we're www.sightandsound.co.uk. Come and find us.
Well, thank you, Glenn, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Absolute pleasure. Have a good day.
I'm now joined by Geordie from ARI, who's got a fantastic new bit of software and development. Geordie, could you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'd love to. So ARI was developed really to help people who have visual field loss, such as hemianopia or retinitis pigmentosa, primarily because I have hemianopia, and I kind of felt that there weren't enough technologies out there specifically for people who have visual field loss. So I basically just made something for myself and then tested really if it, you know, had an advantage to any other, for anybody else. So the concept of what our software does, it works a little bit like a rear view mirror in a car. So for those people who are driving along, you have to check your mirrors regularly. But even though you're checking your mirrors regularly, you never actually have to turn your head around. Having those mirrors help you get an idea of what's around you. And so we've taken that concept and we've put it in augmented reality smart glasses. So what we have is we have a live stream of the blind field into the sighted field in quite a nice snazzy pair of augmented reality specs.
And how does it work? Does it actually sort of, I suppose, project or make contact with the retina? Does it work in that kind of way?
So, I mean, most of our focus are for people who have cortical damage rather than, you know, needs of acuity. So while our software would be able to magnify things, it really just works like an ordinary pair of glasses that have a film kind of playing live inside. So yes, you know, as long as you have some residual visual field, our technology should increase your field of view.
And what is the sort of stage of development at the moment? Is it on the market or is that a bit far away at the moment?
We're a bit far away at the moment. So today at Sight Village, we're showing our augmented reality demo for the very first time. Up until now, we have been doing patient trials in a virtual reality simulation. So what we've got out here today is the very, very crude early demo. In terms of getting it on the market, we're, I would say, at least 18 months away, perhaps longer, depending on funding. So even though our company, ARI, you know, is working on this, myself and Paul Hibbard, we are full-time academics at the University of Essex. And so development on ARI really depends on funding. So as long as we get our funding applications in, we can start to run trials and, you know, really just find out from people if where we're going is what they need. But yeah, at least 18 months.
And if listeners are interested to find out a little bit more, is there a website or somewhere where they can go to find out information about ARI?
Absolutely. So www.ARI, and that's ARIE.org.
Well, Geordie, thank you very much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks for having me, Toby.
I'm joined by Ed from Bristol Braille Technology to tell me a little bit about, I think, a new piece of kit that you're developing at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. And it's really nice to be back at Sight Village South East, or South Village London, as we used to call it, for the first time in years for me. So we're Bristol Braille, and we developed the Canute 360, which is the world's only multi-line Braille display. That's a nine-line Braille display, 360 cells. And we've been selling that for a few years now. And a lot of the feedback we had on that is about things that it could be used for more than just an e-book reader, because the device is an e-book reader. So what we're building is something called the Canute console, which is at the moment a prototype. I showed you it earlier. And that's a sort of a workstation for doing computer science and system administration and learning to program and code. But the big difference here is it's got a full page or 9 lines of Braille on there and a 13-inch high-contrast white-on-black monitor. So someone can learn Braille on it, but also when someone is learning to program or they're playing a game that they've programmed, for the first time you can actually play tactile video games, what you see in Braille is exactly the same as what is on the display, the monitor. So the character for character, identical, you get to see exactly the same things. And there's so many advantages for that, for tables. We've got a game of Snake, even, that people have been playing. And I think your colleague Dave has currently got the high score.
And I think the one thing which is so good about having multi-line Braille is, you know, I use Braille and I have a one-line Braille display, which is great. But like you say, for things like tables and stuff like that, or even just reading, when you've got more lines, you can actually sort of read a bit faster and find information a bit faster, especially when you're thinking about spreadsheets and that sort of thing.
Finding information faster is actually probably the most important thing, and retaining information is much easier because you don't have to remember every line. So give an example on this. We were using this device. You can do this on a normal Canute. You don't actually need the Canute console for this, but we just drew a quick file using a text editor, which was a bar graph of comparative rainfall in Europe. It took about, 45 seconds to do it. We put the UK, France, Italy, Spain on there. Then you had bar graphs, and you could run your hands up and down and immediately tell the comparative differences. I mean, you could immediately tell that Britain had the highest amount of rainfall, for example. But those sorts of things, it's just much faster and more efficient. It's the sort of thing people used to do with their Braille frame or indeed on a Perkins, but it's so hard to do on a single line display.
And as you know, obviously, Bristol Braille technology is very much in the forefront of technology in Braille. And the dots haven't really changed, but it's how the dots are produced and the technology behind it that changes. I know you've got the Canute and your Canute console and stuff, but are you working on anything else at the moment?
We're focusing mostly on that, but the key thing to mention, which I forgot to mention a second ago, is that the Canute itself is on sale. That's a consumer device. The Canute console, that's in prototype. We've built a number of them, and we are now going to be running pilots. So we're interested in people who are either adults or children, or who are learning computer science or interested in it, or are computer scientists who want to help us. Because we're going to run some pilots, we're going to try and make the best product possible, just like we did with the Canute 360. Just a reminder for those of you who don't know the history of that, we helped set up the Braillist Foundation, been working with them since 2014, deliberately in order to make sure that the Canute was designed as a community effort, and that's what we want to do with this. We've made the prototypes, but now it requires a community of people coming together and working out what it will be used for. So your question, what else are we working on? That's it. We're running pilots, and we're going to find out what we're going to work on by asking people what we ought to work on.
And I suppose it's a follow-on question from that, obviously, is if people want to find out more about Bristol Braille technology and maybe get involved in that development and the forefront of Braille, what's the best way for people to get in touch, and where can they find out more about Bristol Braille technology?
The best place is, of course, our website. That's bristolbraille.org. You can also call us. That's 0117 325 3022. If you don't mind me doing a slight aside plug here, I just want to mention that our partners, who I just talked about at the Braillist Foundation, who is a totally separate organisation, but we like to work with them as much as possible, are currently doing a Braille for Beginners Learn at Home Yourself course. And if anyone's likes all this, but Braille sounds a little intimidating, like some of the people I've spoken to so far today, there's a charity that can help people learn a bit of Braille from home at your own speed whenever you like. That's braillists.org.
And that's so good. I mean, they're really good in getting people into Braille. And I think it's also that thing, people think Braille's an old-fashioned technology, but it certainly isn't, and it can really help in so many ways.
Exactly. Braille isn't old-fashioned. It's just that some of the technology which props it up has been allowed to become a bit out of date. That doesn't mean the medium is out of date. The medium is very, very current.
Well, Ed, thank you very much indeed for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. This is Tech Talk, and I'm Dave Williams. Orcam products are known for combining smart cameras and artificial intelligence technology to recognize text and objects in a user's environment. And we are joined now by Rafi, who's going to help us understand a little bit more about the range of products available from Orcam and some of those unique benefits. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Rafi. Just sort of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your Orcam journey. So far.
Great. Thanks, Dave. First of all, I very much appreciate being here with you today. Like you said, my name is Rafi. I am the Director of Media and Public Relations for Orcam, and I've actually been with the company for 6.5 years, which is quite the longevity, I would say. Orcam as itself, it really come, you know, talk about my journey. I first have to start with Orcam's journey very briefly, which is that we started here in Jerusalem, Israel in 2010. And the company was actually founded by the same two co-founders who founded the company Mobileye, which uses artificial vision technology, AI, machine learning, to develop systems, chips, for safer driving. And that Mobileye chip is in over 100 million vehicles worldwide today. And the reason why I mentioned Mobileye is that Orcam was certainly inspired by the technology Mobileye uses to save lives on the road, but our application, our inspiration came from that to make a different kind of personal AI technology that improves the quality of life of people, that grants them independence, empowers them with independence, really, that they wouldn't be able to have otherwise, in terms of people who are blind or visually impaired and also have different kinds of reading and learning challenges, too. Throughout our journey with research and development, we actually consulted with many people in different countries who are blind and visually impaired, because we didn't want to just make a product and hope it was accepted by people, right? We wanted to do it the right way, so to speak, and make something that people would desire, that would actually be to their, not just to their liking, but that would fit their needs. And so we went about designing Orcam My Eye, which, if I had to summarize it in one sentence, I would say it's an assistive technology device that communicates different kinds of visual information by audio to the person wearing the device. I say wearing because the device, it clips onto your glasses, any kind of eyeglasses or sunglasses. And even if the person using the device doesn't have glasses, they can use any kind of frame, because it's not the glasses themselves. It's just the way to, a vehicle, a way to wear the device hands-free. And right now, well, since 2018, excuse me, we've had Orcam My Eye 2, which is a device that we miniaturized from the first version. Right now, it's the size of your index finger, pretty much. It's that small. It weighs very lightweight, 22.5 grams. And so you wear the device, you clip onto the glasses, onto the arm of the glasses, and it rests right above your ear. So the person wearing the device could hear the audio output just fine, but nobody else around them can hear with their hearing. And on top of that, it's also Bluetooth compatible. So the user can choose to wear, you know, headphones if they want as well, but they don't need to with the device.
So just in general terms then, can you tell us who Orcam is designed for? You mentioned blind and partially sighted people, and clearly there's a huge spectrum of sight loss, many different eye conditions. Who is your kind of target audience? Who are Orcam products really designed for?
When we're talking about Orcam My Eye, are people, our users that we can help, that we assist with this device, are people who can be completely blind, even people who are born, you know, without vision, all the way up to people who are visually impaired. And when I say visually impaired, my reference is people who can no longer be helped by corrective lenses, where the scope of the you know, traditional assistive, lenses or devices, you know, just can't help them. And so we take it, we're kind of beyond that scope. And so what we do is, with our technology, is we do the next best thing to, you know, there are some devices out there that try to magnify the person's deteriorating, you know, residual vision. And that's not something we approach it at all, like, in that sense. What we do is we do the next best thing in our minds, which is communicate information, whether it's text, a person's face, by audio to the person wearing our device. So it's kind of like a personal AI set of eyes for that person with the device, basically.
Right. Okay. So just to be absolutely clear then, Rafi, you're saying that Orcam products are suitable for people who are visually impaired, but also people who are completely blind. Is that right?
Right. The Orca in my eye is. We have a few other products that are not suited for people who have complete blindness. But Orca in my eye, we have many users who are completely blind and very successfully use our device, correct, for Orca in my eye.
Okay. Can you just highlight for us some of the unique benefits of the Orcam range?
Really, the most widely used feature of our device, actually all of our devices, is the text-to-speech feature, meaning that our devices, including Orcam iEye, including Orcam Read, can read any text from any surface in real time. I know that's kind of like a bold, broad statement that I made, so let me just clarify that a little bit. So when I say any text, printed or digital, I mean it could be a book, it could be a newspaper, it could be somebody's smartphone screen or computer screen, a sign on the wall, or in a restaurant. And what the device does is it snaps a photo of the text in front of it, and basically in real time, in about a second or two at most, it converts the text into the spoken word, into audio, to the person who's wearing the device. And so this opens up a whole world, basically, because if you think about, you know, how much text, you know, you go through on a given day, there's a lot out there, right? Whether it's your email, whether it's, you know, like a sign in front of you, it could be really anything. And so people who are visually impaired or blind who might not have access to that, you know, textual information, this device captures that and relays it to the person wearing the device in virtually in real time. So that's definitely our most widely used feature. But it also can do more things, as well as identify people's faces, also consumer products by their barcodes, different colors, the denominations of money notes, these kinds of things that are, you know, people use, people come across and use in everyday life, you know. So we're trying to think of, you know, through our journey, we've consulted with people who are blind and visually impaired to try to understand, you know, what their needs are, what they would most want in a device. And those are the features that we set about developing, and we're continuing to develop new features based on that feedback.
When I'm talking to blind and partially sighted people in the community about Orcam, the thing that lots of folks want to know, and I'm sure this is a familiar question, how does Orcam compare with using a recognition app on a smartphone, for example?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And you're talking specifically for facial recognition or also for text recognition?
Well, let's take text, for example.
So yeah, there certainly are applications available for smartphones with text. And there's a few important differences. I mean, first of all, just the form factor, so to speak. You know, with an app on a phone, obviously, first of all, you have to have a smartphone, right? Second of all, you have to be able to more or less position the phone over the text that you want to read, you know? So you have to kind of, you know that it's out there to have the phone hopefully capture that text before it can obviously start reading to you. And the other thing is you have to have, you know, reception. You have to have some kind of connectivity for your phone to work, right? For it to access, you know, the cloud, for the app to decode the information, so to speak. I contrast that with Orcam My Eye because of a few different factors that are very important. First of all, the device works completely offline. There is no connectivity involved with Orcam My Eye using the device. And really that brings three big benefits. Number one is speed. Everything's processed locally in a closed system on a tiny device. Number two is dependability. You can use the device like on an airplane, on the top of a mountain somewhere, or in that corner of the supermarket where there's no reception, right? And the third is there are no data privacy concerns. Nothing's being sent to the device from the cloud and vice versa to be processed. So it's all happening here. So offline is the number one. Also, the device is wearable hands-free. And what that enables the device to do is anywhere the user turns their head, because the device clips onto a pair of glasses or sunglasses, right? So anytime the user moves his or her head, that's where the camera, the small camera on the device, follows. And it's angled at a certain way. If you think of like your nose as like the center point, that's how the device camera is angled. And so everything around there, you know, is kind of like a wide spectrum, you know, to the left, to the right, that kind of thing. And so if there's any text within, you know, pretty, you know, decent range of the device, even if it's not directly in front of the person, it will pick it up and read it to you. So there's no need to try to line the phone up exactly to capture the text. Another advantage of the device versus versus a cell phone is that it doesn't compete for battery power, because an app on a phone obviously competes with other apps being used on the phone, as well as the person using it to speak, right? With Orkin My Eye, it's a device that's totally dedicated for one purpose, and that is communicating the visual information. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to rule out apps completely, because, you know, I've spoken with many people, maybe yourself as well, who use apps very successfully for text reading, and that's fine. And that benefits certain people. And certain people, if they use it here and there, it could be a benefit, assuming they can, you know, line up the device. But we found that people who need text-to-speech reading, let's say in the long term, so to speak, somebody that uses it on a daily basis throughout their day, the app, you know, falls short in a lot of categories.
So I'm just sort of trying to navigate the range of products that Orkam has. You've got the My Eye, My Reader, the Smart Reader. Can you just sort of talk us through the range and help me understand which would be the right Orkam product for me?
Okay, sure. And it could be, yeah, it could be one of a few. And so we have two primary products that are out there right now, with a third on the way, which I can speak to if we have time a little bit later. The two products I'm talking about, the two devices, one is called Orkam My Eye. It's the size of your index finger, and that's the one that clips on, magnetically clips onto any glasses. And the second device is called Orkam Read. Orkam Read is about the size of a pen. It's probably about like two and a half times the size of Orkam My Eye. But instead of wearing it, you hold it in your hand. It's a handheld device, much like you would hold a pen. And what both devices have in common is the text-to-speech reading, is the OCR, the optical character recognition that we pioneered, that's in the device. And they both can read any kind of printed or digital text from pretty much any surface. With Orkam Read, it's not suited for people who are completely blind, because you have to reasonably, you know, see or have an idea of where the text is in front of you. So people who are, you know, have, you know, moderate to mild low vision can successfully use Orkam Read. And also people who don't have, any kind of, visual impairment, but have reading difficulties, such as people who are dyslexic or have aphasia or other kind of conditions. The way Orkam Read works, as opposed to Orkam My Eye, is that you hold it and a laser box comes out of the device. And once you have the text you want to read, whether it's on a computer screen or a book or what have you, in that box, you let go of the activation button, and boom, it reads you the text, you know, right away, working offline. So really, you know, the Orkam Reads is for people who, A, just want the text-to-speech reading, you know, feature, and B, either are fully sighted or are partially sighted, but have enough vision to understand where to position the device as they're holding it. Versus Orkam My Eye, where it's handheld, hands-free, where you can actually now we have the ability to speak to Orkam My Eye. We can actually tell it to do certain things without even having to point or hold up the text. You can just look over the text with your head and say, you know, start reading, and the device will start reading, you know, just like that.
So once we've recognized our text, what can I do with that? What are the options for exporting that or using that text in some way? Say I'm a student and I want to be able to quote that text in my assignment.
Right. So you can manipulate the text while you're reading a text block. When I mean text block is that the part of the text, the piece of the text that's picked up by the device, right? And so while Orkam My Eye or Orkam Read has that text, you can pause, you can skip ahead, you can skip behind, you can change the words per minute, how fast or slow it is read to you. But with Orkam My Eye, it's really text on the fly. And let me explain that for a moment. By design, we don't have Orkam My Eye save any of the text it reads. And that's very much because of privacy issues. We don't want somebody getting hold of some user's device and being able to access the potentially, you know, very confidential or private reading that person did, right? So when I say on the fly, it stores the text temporarily. And once the user is done with the text, whether they stop the reading or the device reaches the last word of text on the document or on the screen, it forgets it, doesn't retain that text. With Orkam Read, we're working on an app where you can be able to export it, like you're saying, into like a Word file or a PDF, that kind of thing. But that's more for Orkam Read, and that's because, like you alluded to, a lot of students, you know, use our device for Orkam Read. People who might be, you know, fully sighted and actually being able to read fine, but they consume so much text during the day, they could rely on this device, because you can listen to the text being read to you while you do a different activity. Because all it takes is one shot, one photo to read the entire page or the entire screen. You know, so you can listen to it on your headphones, let's say, while preparing dinner, for example, you know. So you can do two things at once in that sense.
Excellent. Rafi, I don't want to put you on the spot. Are you in a position to give us a little bit of a demo?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'm holding a page here, and it's about the American Museum of Natural History, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm holding the page in front of me right now, and I'm going to take my finger and just point at it, okay? Point in the direction of the text. And Orchid, my eye, actually responds to some intuitive hand gestures, okay? As far as we know, actually, it's the only assistive technology out there that actually can be responsive to hand gestures. So I'm holding the text in front of me, and I'm just going to point at it.
American Museum of Natural History, about the American Museum of Natural History, located on the Upper West Side
and
of Manhattan.
You didn't hear the shutter sound, but once I pointed at it, I heard a shutter sound, and then Orcam started reading. And really, it was about a second or so of time that elapsed before I started reading the text. And like I mentioned earlier, I just stopped the text reading, but if I didn't, it would go all the way down to the end of the page. And also I could, you know, skip ahead, skip behind, because on one side of the device is actually a touch sensitive area. It's a touch sensitive like slide bar. So you can move your finger forward or backwards on it, and it'll skip ahead a line or skip behind a line. If you double tap, it will pause the reading until you're ready to return to it. So that is really how simple it is to read with a device. It's just either point and click, or you have two other options. If somebody is completely blind and doesn't, you know where to point, what they can do is they can simply double tap on the side of the device, and if there's text in front of that person, it will also read it to you as if you pointed at it. So it's a second way to activate the text reading. And a third way is simply to say, you know, reading, smart reading, you know, and because smart reading is another feature, which I'll get into in a moment, but basically you can either do it by voice command, by tapping, or by pointing. So three different options, all three very easy to do to initiate the text reading.
So let's talk about that voice then, Rafi, because blind and partially sighted people are very particular about the voices that we like and the voices that we don't like when it comes to listening to synthetic speech. You know, everybody has very strong views and strong preferences on that. So how do you choose which voices are available in Orcam, and can we change them?
Yeah, so you can change them to a degree. So obviously you heard an American accent right now. The device we sell in the United Kingdom has a British accent, both male or female. You can choose between male or female. You can also choose between, you know, how fast or how slow it's read. You know, I've heard some users, they have it in this incredible speed that I can't even understand. But, you know, these people, you know, who are used to hearing, you know, the text read at a very quick pace, they have it at a very high words per minute. So it's I'm not sure right now. We have at least one male, one female. I think now we're offering a couple of options of the male and the female, like you're saying, because people like to choose, you know, what sounds best to them, you know, not so, you know, mechanical or different kind of intonation, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, important to offer that choice. So, but it's all from the same engine, right? You don't offer people like, I don't know, RealSpeak or Ivona or different engines.
Oh, no, it is from the same engine, but we're trying to offer some more choices. But yeah, it is from the same engine, ultimately.
Sure. So which recent Orcam development are you most excited about, Rafi?
Let me say one thing that I am excited about with this current device, which is something called smart reading, which takes the text-to-speech reading to another level. And what I mean by that is that I'm going to read this document again, or I'm going to start the reading of the document again. And instead of having it read through, I'm going to actually ask the device questions, and it will answer me if the answers are in the text. Okay? So let me. What I'm going to do now is this. I'm just going to double tap on the side of the device while I'm wearing Orcam My Eye, and I'm going to say the word smart reading to initiate this process. Okay? Very quickly. Smart reading. Okay, I think it said unreadable because there's some text on my wall behind the device. Sorry, behind the paper that I think the device was trying to access anyway, too. So I'm going to ask the device, there are four different exhibitions on this device, on this paper. So I'm going to say to the device, read dates.
Found four dates. First result, the ultimate predator starting November 11th, 2019. Second result, Butterfly Conservatory starting December 3rd, 2019.
So what's happening is I asked the device to find dates, and it didn't just read me the dates because that wouldn't be helpful to me. It gave me the context by reading the name of the exhibition and then the date. So this is something that otherwise I would have to go through the whole page until I got to the section I wanted to hear about, right? And by my voice, I directed the device to find the exact information I wanted. Let me show you one more quick example. Read amounts.
$23, student $18, senior $18.
So again, I just asked for amounts, it found the right amounts, and gave me the context of what the amount corresponded to. And one last thing is you can actually find individual words in the text. So if I say, find central.
Found two results of central. First result, located in Theodore Roosevelt Park across the street from Central Park. Second result, phone 212-769-5100-200 Central Park, we.
So again, this found the word central, but didn't just say central, it went to some information right before that, so I don't understand the context of how it appears in the text. So in some ways, you know, it makes the text reading, you know, so much more efficient, where you don't have to skip through text that is not interesting to you or is unnecessary for you. You can simply ask the device to find things on the text. If you know you're looking at a menu, for example, in a restaurant, you can ask it to read the dessert section to you, as opposed to having to go through the whole main courses and appetizers to get to that section.
Yeah, it's usually my first question when I have a menu read to me. What are the vegetarian options? I sometimes want to know. So it kind of teases a little bit then, Rafi. What's coming? What's new?
So, okay, what's coming to Orkia My Eye is something that we're calling navigation. Because up until now, Orkia My Eye has been a communications tool. It's meant to be used in conjunction with a white cane or a seeing eye dog, right? Those are mobility tools to get you to where you want to go. With Orkia My Eye, with this navigation feature we're working on, we actually have it in a beta version right now. It's meant to help you with the endpoint navigation. What I mean by that is the device now is able to recognize a door frame or a chair or ascending staircase. And so what happens is I use my finger before to point at the text to initiate the reading. Well, we're using that pointing gesture and taking it to, we're extending the functionality of it in the sense that if the device identifies a door frame is in front of me, I can extend my hand and OrCam will guide my hand to the door handle. In terms of, when I say guide my hand, it will tell me, you know, to the left, to the right, and it will give me some series of beeps that are either increasing or decreasing in intensity to guide me to the door handle. Once I reach it, I can open the door, you know, and walk through it. I don't have to ask somebody where it is or use, you know, some kind of, you know, use a cane or whatnot to get to that. And so it's really meant to be like the last, I don't know, X number of meters when you're in a certain area. So when you go into a room, OrCam will tell you how many people are in the room. It will tell you there's a table in front of you. There are four chairs to your right, you know, that kind of thing. So we're really trying to push the envelope of what we can actually have the device communicate to the person wearing it.
We're told that augmented and virtual reality experiences represent the next frontier in terms of digital accessibility. Do you think OrCam has a role there?
I'm not sure in the traditional sense, because those technologies are very visual, obviously, right? And our whole approach, you know, with OrCam My Eye and with OrCam Read for text reading is to communicate visuals that somebody, you know, might not be able to process. And so with that kind of technology, that's more of a, I think, for a different population, you know, that would enjoy that, basically. And you know, it'd be difficult for OrCam to communicate everything that's, you know, visually, you know, coming up on those goggles or the screen. But yeah, we are trying to come up with more and more functions for the device. We're also looking at incorporating a GPS feature into it, which will actually help you, like if you're in a mall, a shopping mall, for example, it could tell you, recognize the logos of stores and tell you where certain stores are located and how to get there. You know, that kind of thing. So again, we're trying to just expand the how OrCam My Eye can basically, you know, support the person wearing the device.
Exciting stuff. Well, thank you so much, Rafi, for your time and demonstration. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. I just wanted to say one more thing, because you asked me earlier about my journey, and I want to just, I really wanted to answer that question, actually, in that before I came to OrCam, I work in public relations, in media communications, and I work for different agencies in the United States and also here in Israel. And with working in an agency, you all, I have all different kinds of clients, all different kind of, you know, stripes and colors and whatnot. And so after my time working at agencies, I wanted to work in-house where I am now. And this is my first and only position in-house. And I wanted to find a company that wasn't just interesting, but something that was meaningful to me. You know, because working in an agency, you have different kind of clients and all different kinds of, you know, variety. But with OrCam, it's, to me, it boils down to, you know, technology with a purpose. You know, when I speak to people who use that device, who can read a book, and they never expected to read a book because of their failing vision, you know, and they're very emotional talking about it, what it's done for them, it makes me feel very proud to represent, you know, what we're developing here.
Fantastic. Where can our blind and partially sighted listeners learn more about OrCam and the range of products?
Just go to our website. It's orcam.com. And it's obviously in English and also many other languages, and it's accessible. And so, yeah, it really, that's the good place to start.
And you'll also find information about OrCam products from the RNIB shop. Just search for OrCam at rnib.org.uk/shop. Rafi, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it very much, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks again to Rafi from OrCam. Tasneem Arshad, you're with me now. Tell me, you have tried OrCam. How did you get on with it?
Very interesting, Dave. It's a great product. What I really like about it is that you can use various sort of gestures. So, you know, you can raise your hand, for example, to stop and start the speech. So from that point of view, it's really helpful. For me personally, you know, I don't read any printed information. I've got a small amount of useful vision. I don't read Braille. I can see sort of very blurred text on the page, but that's about it. And in terms of having to sort of point your finger and get the camera to read and to position it correctly, I had great difficulty in doing that, despite the fact that I attempted several times. So that was the thing. I couldn't quite get my head around getting that part accurate. And then the other aspect was the voices for me. It's not robust enough for me, the voices. You don't have very many options to change the voices. Although you can change the speed and things, it's quite hard to tune into that particular voice. And there's only an option of one male, one female. And I find that quite challenging and quite difficult. So some variation on that and some kind of fine tuning and tweaking would be my suggestion around that. And potentially more for people who are partially sighted, you know, good high partials, as opposed to someone who's completely blind, would be my kind of limited, you know, the limited experience that I've had with it would be my view. And that, bearing in mind, that was a couple of years ago. So if there's been more updated features on it and around that, then obviously, you know, that would be something new for me to try out and check out.
When it comes to reading text, OrCam is one option, but clearly there are other products out there. Callum Stoneman, what do you use to recognize text and objects in your environment?
For me, just my iPhone, really, and the apps. And that's one thing with the OrCam that, because I had a very similar, in fact, pretty much exactly the same experience as Taz there. I tried it out. I had a very brief demo of it about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had a similar sort of feeling that it was probably a bit better for those who are maybe partially sighted or have got some vision or have at least had some vision, whereas I've been totally blind from birth. And what I found was that there's certain features that are cool. Like, for example, say you're trying to read a menu and it's in like a column layout, you could sort of get the OrCam's focus on the particular piece of paper and then sort of drag your finger, almost kind of drag your finger down the column that you want or the particular row that you want to read, and it will kind of follow you. But again, I just couldn't quite get that accuracy, and I think if you've got that visual reference, then it's a lot easier. But for me, it always boils down to what can the OrCam do that seeing AI on my iPhone can't. And for me, there's not really much in it. I just find the OrCam's a great product. You know, we should stress that it's fantastic for those people that need it and would get the use out of it, because clearly smartphones aren't for everyone, as we say all the time. But for me, I think it does pretty much everything that my phone does.
Tell me very quickly, Callum, which apps do you use? You mentioned Seeing AI, that comes up a lot, but any others?
Well, InVision's really good. We've touched quite a lot on InVision before. So that's really good as well. And on iOS, it's pretty much just them two, really. I kind of flick between Seeing AI and InVision. On the rare occasions that I use my Android device, I think Google Lookout, personally, is the best one on there.
Okay, so lots of options available. We'd love to know how you recognise text. Is it just spot reading, or do you read longer form documents using a dedicated device or an app on your smartphone? Do let us know. That email address, as always, is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum, Tasneem, thank you very much. Black Friday, of course, is almost upon us, and the RNIB Products for Life store will be joining in the fun with many offers across more than 100 products, I think, including many technology products. And here to give us the latest and tell us which technology products will be included in the Black Friday sale is Claire Maxwell, product developer with RNIB's retail products team. Hello, Claire. A very warm welcome to RNIB Connect Radio. How are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Thanks for asking me to come on. It's a privilege, and I just hope I can give your listeners a good rundown of what we've got in our technology discounted products for Black Friday.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I imagine you're a very busy lady this time of year.
Very busy. That's an understatement.
Alrighty. Well, you know, we're not going to go through absolutely everything because, as I mentioned there, there are over 100 products, I think, in total in the Black Friday sale. And many of those are also technology products. But why don't you sort of talk us through some of the highlights? What's the first product that you'd like to share with us, Claire?
So, yeah, Dave, thank you. There are over 119 products, so you're absolutely right. I'm not going to go through absolutely everything on the list, but I will just go through a couple of technology products that I think are worth mentioning here for listeners. One of the products, there's a mix of products, you know, high-end technology products and maybe lower-end technology products. So one of the products that I think is worth mentioning for listeners is the RNIB Digital Radio. The Digital Radio, it has got a large display and it's got large text, which is highly contrasted as well for anyone who's got some useful vision. It's also got tactile markers on the buttons and has some voice prompts as well. So it's a mixture of things, but it's a nice sort of all-round product and does have those voice prompts for users who need that little bit of assistance when tuning in their radio as well.
So that's a DAB digital radio. So I suppose ideal, you know, if your internet were to go off and you can't use your smart speaker, but you still want to listen to the radio. It's a kind of a classic sort of radio form factor. Good for a kitchen, I reckon, Claire.
Yeah, good for a kitchen. But also, I mean, it has the added feature of being able to play your RNIB books as well. So if you're an avid reader and you get your USB memory sticks from RNIB as well, you can play your DAISY content on there as well. So something which is handy to have in the kitchen, but it does have a nice handle if you fancy, you know, chilling out in the living room or somewhere else in the house as well. So
yeah, we should mention, of course, that all these products are going to have some kind of discount. You know, there'll be some will have 5%, some will have 10%, some will be more. So people should check the website for details, and we'll give those in a second. What else you got for us, Claire?
Something else I think is worth mentioning for users, again, you know, I'm not going to go through everything, but maybe the Victor Reader Trek, which is a combination of a book player. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with the old sort of Victor Stream media player. So it's a combination of that plus the old Victor Trek, which was the navigational device. So this has been combined into one product, and we have a discount on that over Black Friday as well. So, you know, sometimes you want a separate product, not just using your apps or smartphone. You want something which is dedicated to navigation and or media playing. So that's a nice product that we're offering a discount on to.
Right, and it's a handheld device, the Victor Reader Trek, and it's got tactile buttons. So obviously if you struggle with touchscreens when you're out and about, particularly when it's raining, those touchscreens can be a pain. So the Trek, a nice tactile handheld device for listening to talking books and navigation.
So another product I think again is worth mentioning is the Mantis Q. So people may or may not be familiar with the Mantis Q, but it's a braille display combined with a QWERTY keyboard. So you might prefer to use a QWERTY keyboard. You can actually change it so you can use it for braille input. But I think the benefit of this is that the braille display is obviously joined onto the QWERTY keyboard. So there's not as much gap as, you know, say if you had your old traditional style braille display in front of your QWERTY keyboard on your desk. And it also has built-in apps as well for editing and reading. So that's a nice product that we have a discount on too.
Yeah, so the Mantis Q, if you were to put a regular braille display in front of your laptop, usually the trackpad and all of that are in the way, and you've got further to kind of reach to get to the QWERTY keyboard, where, of course, the nice thing about the Mantis is that the braille display is right there, you know, right up against the space bar. So you've got, you know, much less distance to reach.
So another product that I think is worth mentioning is the MicroSpeaks. This is a really nice, small voice recorder, really easy to use. It has voice prompts, nice tactile buttons, and it also has contrast as well. It is mainly designed, as I say, because it has got the voice prompts for those who have got no sight, but you can use it because if you have some residual vision, you use the display as well. So it has nice clear text as well to read. And that's reasonably priced, but we do also have a discount this Black Friday on that as well. So a nice device if you want to record meetings or anything, you know, educational setting, or, you know, you just want to take note of some of those special moments on Christmas Day, for example.
Yeah, it's sort of a voice memo, I guess, like a little handheld recorder. And the thing that really impressed me about the MicroSpeak, Claire, is it's got a really good built-in speaker as well. It can go quite loud.
It does. It does. It's a pretty impressive device for the size of it, I think.
Yeah, and it's normally sort of, I want to say, like 40, 50 quid, and you've got a further discount off there for Black Friday.
Absolutely.
Is that everything?
I thought I'd also mention the Haybel One, which is a small braille keyboard. So it has the braille input keys. You hold it up between your hands. It's not the sort of traditional style of keyboard that you would lay flat on a desk. I think that's what stands out most about it. But it can be connected to your smartphone or tablet, and you know, you could use it to type out your tweets or, you know, your text messages or whatever you want to do. So it's just essentially a braille keyboard, input braille keys.
Yeah, so if you're someone, again, if you struggle with the touchscreen on your phone using the on-screen QWERTY keyboard, or maybe you don't get on with braille screen input, Haybel One might be suitable. And we've talked about Haybel One on Tech Talk previously, and obviously you might be writing using braille characters, but actually the message that is received, you know, on your phone is in regular text, so whoever's receiving that, then, you know, they're going to see print when they read your message. So it's a good way to control those touchscreen devices. And I should say, with the Haybel One and with the Mantis, which is of course also a braille device, they're going to work with all your popular screen readers, VoiceOver, BrailleBack, you know, Jaws, NVDA. They're all supported.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for those who may be faster at typing in Braille, you're absolutely right, Dave. You know, it shows up in print, you know, for anyone receiving those messages. But, you know, it might be a quicker way for you to get your tweets and text messages out there.
What else have we got?
Let me tell you about one of our newer phones. This is the V97 Simplicity. It's an Emporia phone. It's not as cheap and cheerful. It's for those, I suppose, those technology lovers in your life who have got some useful vision. It's got high contrast. The text goes up to 24 points. You know, it's nice, easy, simple to use, as the, you know, as the name implies, really. But, you know, not a smartphone. If, you know, for someone who wants to have something at their fingertips with buttons, easy to use, high contrast, definitely does the job.
Definitely the time of year when we think about calling those people that we've forgotten to catch up with recently.
Exactly. Perfect way to keep in touch with those friends or family that you haven't spoken to maybe for a long time.
Do you have anything else for us, Claire?
I think it's just worth mentioning, obviously, we've got so many products and watches are always a popular thing for Christmas. And while we haven't mentioned them specifically, you know, we have a wide range of tactile braille, you know, tactile and talking watches.
All right. So how do people avail themselves of these deals? Because obviously all of this is subject to, you know, while stocks last. So what's the best way to bag yourself a bargain, Claire?
Yeah, onto the RNIB website, you can go on there ahead of time, but the offers are actually running from the 18th of November through to the 30th, but worth going on there maybe to have a look ahead of time, just in case the product that you might think of is going to be in the Black Friday sale from next week.
Okay, so starting from Friday the 18th of November, running through to the 30th, and I guess we go to the usual address for the shop.
That's it. Yep, the usual address. So RNIB shop, and have a look at our new gifts as well as our new products and our Black Friday sale.
Okay, so that's rnib.org.uk/shop. And presumably all these deals are also available via the helpline as well, Claire.
Absolutely. Yep, give our helpline a call on the usual number 0303 123 9999. And they'll be able to talk you through and help you with your Black Friday purchases as well.
Claire Maxwell, product developer from RNIB's retail products team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Rob Kahn has been in touch and particularly enjoyed last week's programme when we toured the new kitchen and talked about different ways of making kitchen appliances more accessible. Now, Rob was keen to hear more about controlling the hob and the dishwasher, and we'll perhaps dive into that in a little bit more detail for you, Rob, in a future show. But just to clarify, the hob we talked about, the Neff hob, that particular one does not support the Alexa sort of control, but the dishwasher does.
So what happens if Lady A or Mr. G isn't operating? What alternative solutions do you have available, Dave?
Do you know what, Tasneem? That is a very good point. And it is something that we thought about, particularly with the dishwasher. So the dishwasher works with the Home Connect app. So you download the Home Connect app to your phone. And once you've set that up, you can control the dishwasher from the phone. And then you can link it to Alexa. And then you can say to Alexa, you know, ask my dishwasher to start the whatever program. But you're absolutely right. I had this worry because the dishwasher itself doesn't have any physical buttons on it. It's a Neff dishwasher and it has a touch panel along the top edge of the door. So what we've done is to get three very small bump-ons and stick those on next to the most important areas that we need to touch. So the power on, power off, we've got a little bump-on there. We've got a bump-on for the classic 60 degree program, so we're at least able to choose one of the programs, and then we've got a bump on near the start button as well. So it's less accessible if the internet's off and we have no access, you know, via the app, but it's still possible to use.
Yeah, I consider this as well when I'm buying particularly tech that you can't easily replace. I do consider that, you know, the accessibility of it and what happens if those smart services that enhance the accessibility stop working. And I'm actually in a similar position with my washing machine. I got a Samsung washing machine recently, and that ties into Samsung Smart Things, which for me makes it accessible, makes it possible to change the program and adjust the spin and, you know, set whether I want it to wash or wash and dry. And if that ever stops being supported through Smart Things, I'm not sure how I'd access that, because it's, you know, menu driven as well. So it's not like you can just sort of put bump-ons on and, you know, work around it that way. So I do consider it, but then I should probably take my own advice a bit more as well on that washing machine, because if that goes away, then I'd be a bit stuck.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because Amazon had an incident a few months ago where they had some kind of server issues and Alexa went down, was up and down for a bit for most users. And it was only down for about an hour. But the number of people popping up on social media, and not just blind people, but just, you know, general users, popping up on Amazon's Twitter and stuff going, Alexa's gone down, I can't turn my lights on. What do I do? Even in the mainstream, obviously it's more important with accessibility, but even in the mainstream, we're so dependent on these smart services now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I read an interesting article yesterday that was talking about how Amazon's kind of smart speaker and Alexa kind of division was actually running at a loss at the moment, and they were reconsidering the whole future of that. So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's not going away today, but, you know, there's no guarantee that it's going to be there forever.
No, there isn't. And that'd be tough for a lot of users if that disappeared, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the most likely thing is that they just stop updating it, right? That it just becomes like a legacy product, if that were the case, and they just sort of reduce their investment in the development. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out.
Yeah.
Great email, though, Rob. Good to hear from you. And we'll perhaps do a little bit more of detailed demonstration of those appliances on a future show. And if you would like to get in contact with us here, we'd love to hear your voice notes or your emails. You can send those to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's all we've got time for on Tech Talk this week. Do tune in next time when Tasneem Arshad will be learning more about the work of Tyra Technology. Callum, Tasneem, thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye from me.
Thank you, and see you soon.
Cheers. And from me, Dave Williams, and the rest of the Tech Talk team, do stay in touch. Send your voice notes and email to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Until next time, bye for now.